Welcome everybody to Jawanza for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. It is a beautiful day, and I just want to say Happy New Year to everybody who I haven't spoken to thus far, who has just tuning in for the first time this year. Just want to say Happy New Year to everybody. I hope everybody's had a fabulous holiday, and I hope everybody is safe and, you know, well, and we're going to help everybody today. Because I know that there have been a lot of people that have made New Year's resolutions, as people normally do around this time of year. Everybody endeavors to do better this year than they did last year. And if you're on a holistic health path, then you've tuned into the right show. Because my special guest today, if you've been following us for a while, you know that once a month we're very, very fortunate to have as my special guest, Dr. Ruby Lathan. And I can't even put into words just how honored I am that she's agreed to be a regular on this show. She comes on once a month, and we discuss various aspects of holistic health. And if you just tuning in, you really need to go down the archives and really look up the name Dr. Ruby Lathan and listen to those shows, because, I mean, they are just so powerful, and we're just so blessed to have her as my special guest. And, you know, in recent years, I think probably dating back probably, I'd say 10 or so years, people have been fond of referring to themselves as healers. You know, it's become almost a fad in the spiritual community for people to use the word healer, even in reference to themselves, regardless of whether or not they've actually healed anyone or not. They, you know, that term is thrown around very loosely nowadays, and it has been for some time. But it's rare that you can actually run into somebody that is actually healed somebody. I mean, and when I'm talking about healing, I'm talking about not just of the common cold, I'm talking about the big one, you know, cancer. Well, my special guest, Dr. Lathan, is able to say that, and she's actually able to say that she cured herself, healed herself of thyroid cancer. So when using the word healer in reference to her, this is not just some a catchphrase that's, you know, thrown around loosely in regards to her. She's actually done it. She's actually cured herself of thyroid cancer, and that cannot be overstated, because how many people do you know that have cured themselves of cancer? You know, I mean, when we talk about healing the body, then you can't have that conversation without having Dr. Lathan's name put into that discussion. And so I'm very, very fortunate to have her as my guest today. And for those of you who are tuning in for the first time and you've never heard of her, well, stay tuned, because don't go away, because you're going to really enjoy this interview. Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Lathan. She's a holistic health and wellness expert and advocate for plant-based nutrition. Dr. Lathan inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods, plant-based diet. Dr. Lathan, who holds a PhD in industrial and systems engineering and a BS in computer science, began teaching others about the benefit and power of plant-based nutrition. She motivates others to take charge of their health and provides tools for living healthy, disease-free, and above our daily routines to experience the peace and joy of life's journey. Dr. Lathan served as nutrition policy manager and lobbyist at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she led a national initiative to improve child nutrition and prevent chronic disease through emphasis on plant-based options in the National School Lunch Program. Dr. Lathan is a dynamic speaker and educator, hosting a number of seminars, workshops, and healthful vegan cooking demonstrations. She's a health and wellness contributing writer for African American Lifestyle magazine and host of an alternative health webcast, Health 365, and the Whole Foods vegan cooking show, The Veggie Chest. Wow, she's got a lot there just in that little what's the word I'm looking for? Bio. I mean, you can tell just from her bio that she has done a lot. And as I mentioned, I mean, she's cured herself of cancer. And that speaks, and that, say no more. I mean, you don't have to say anything else after you say that. So it's without further ado that I bring to you my special guest for the afternoon. First show with her for the new year, Dr. Lathan. Welcome back to Jawanza for Life. It's an honor to have you back, my sister. I bow to you. Thank you so much for being my guest today. Dr. Lathan, you with us? Well, let me see. If you can hear me, Dr. Lathan, please give us a call. Well, let me see. Let me try something here. Let me do this. Because I see you're still up there. So, Dr. Lathan, can you hear me now? Okay. Well, let's try this. Dr. Lathan, if you can hear me, because I can still see that you're on the board, here's the number to call in, because if I hang up and call you back, the show's going to end. So try this, 347. Oh, okay. Let's see. Maybe she's going to call us right back. I see she's already disconnected from the show. Okay. So, everybody, my special guest is Dr. Ruby Lathan. And, again, I mean, she's an awesome, awesome guest, and what a way to kick the new year off with her. So, you know what? Let me do this. I'm going to try get her back. Can you hold on, everybody? Just be patient with us, okay? I'm going to get Dr. Lathan back. Hey, everybody, still there? Okay, listen, I'm trying to get Dr. Lathan back, so bear with me. Okay, in the meantime, while I'm trying to get her back, let's see. Here she is. All right.
Well,
here we go.
Sorry about that. I am here, a little technical difficulty, but glad to be with you for the first time in this new year.
Yes, and what a way to kick off the show. I mean, this is going to be one of those shows for people that are looking for helpful, you know, options. Because a lot of times during the holidays, people are making a lot of, you know, New Year's resolutions, and, you know, those who are already on the health food, I don't want to say kick, but the path, the path, you know, we all want to do better. You know, even those of us that have been vegan for a while, there's always another level, and we say, okay, well, this year I'm going to do this, and this year I'm going to do that. Well, you've got some tips for us, but for those of you who have never heard of Dr. Lathan and never heard her testimony, as I mentioned in the outset, that she's actually cured herself of thyroid cancer. Again, as I mentioned, you know, a lot of people throw around the term healer very loosely. You know, I'm a healer, you know, but I mean, this lady here is a real healer. Okay, doctor, could you please share your powerful, powerful testimony with our listeners, what actually brought you to the holistic health path?
Absolutely. For me, it was illness. You know, I thought I was living pretty healthy. I was pretty young, and you know, doing the basic things that we're, you know, told to live a healthy life. You know, exercising, you know, staying close to your proper weight, eating, you know, eating a decent diet. But I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer, and that pretty much changed everything. And fortunately, I had been exposed enough to enough information to know that there were likely natural remedies for pretty much everything. But I didn't know what it was. I just had heard people talk about healing naturally from cancer and other things. And, you know, it's interesting because I always thought, you know, if I got some deadly disease, I would go the natural route, not thinking I would ever get one, but it was just kind of in the back of my mind. And so when I was diagnosed, that was my first thought, was to start looking into alternative treatment. And so that's what I did, and I started just researching and reading everything I could, reaching out to people asking about, you know, what they knew about this, you know, natural remedies, what they knew about thyroid cancer. That's the type of cancer I had. And just started researching and found a lot of information, a lot of different remedies. But the one that struck me was dietary changes, and that was a plant-based diet, and how efficient that was in helping the body heal from cancer, from the common diseases that a lot of us have family members who died from or currently have diseases like diabetes and kidney failure and coronary heart disease, all these things that some people think are inevitable. You know, I realized that, you know, it could be relatively easily controlled with diet. So I switched to a plant-based diet, switched to whole foods, got rid of the processed food, junk foods, and really was eating a more therapeutic diet as well as lots of supplementation and juicing. And I was able to reverse the cancer. And that was the life kind of changing thing for me, was when that happened and when I saw the diagnosis change. I was super excited, but I had also shared this information with a lot of people, so all my network knew I was doing a natural treatment, and so obviously I shared with them when I was healed, and everybody wanted to know what I did exactly, and you know, a new life grew from there because I realized how hungry people are for this information and how needed it is for people to know you don't have to suffer from these debilitating diseases, that you can live well and we have power over it. And that's how I got into the holistic field.
Wow. Well, Doctor, could you for a moment talk about your initial reaction once you got the diagnosis? Because there may be somebody out there who just got the same diagnosis. It may be for them, it may be thyroid cancer, or it could be breast cancer or cervical cancer or, you know, prostate cancer or any, you know, type of cancer. And I know that everybody responds differently to that type of news, but you, again, already had your mind made up that if, in fact, the day came where you were ever diagnosed with something, you knew what you were going to do. You knew the path that you were going to take. But even with that, I'm sure that nobody is expecting that kind of news. You know, I mean, nobody's expecting when they go to the doctor, you know, oh, when I go to the doctor, you know, I'm expecting him to tell me I got thyroid cancer. You know, I'm sure that it's a shock. And, you know, there may be people in that stage right now that are listening to this show. They're numbed out as a result of it. Maybe some might even go into denial. Some may go into depression. Could you talk about what how you dealt with that before you actually went headlong into the, you know, the holistic approach that ultimately healed you?
Sure. You know, I think first, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how effective it was going to be. I just knew that alternative treatment was an option for me. So I guess that's half the battle. So knowing that, so, you know, it was a completely kind of just jumping in with almost no information. But I guess for me, I have the benefit of being, of questioning, of being curious, of just not taking everything at face value and questioning things, particularly when it comes to myself and my health and my life. And so I think, you know, what kind of set it off for me was just the surety of the doctor in terms of what I was going to do and what I should do, and without consulting the person who it's going to be done to. That kind of set off some, you know, a bad feeling for me. And you should always listen to that gut instinct. I've talked to a lot of people who've had that instinct where they felt like their doctor felt like a salesperson trying to get them into doing a surgery or something like that. And whenever you feel that unease, dis-ease, you need to listen to it and get a second, third, fourth opinion until you're comfortable. So for me, it was about getting information. So I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to look into. I'm just going to start and collect information. And I think for other people, they might need some support. You know, I did have a friend who was in this field who helped walk me through it and gave me some, you know, comfort about that. But that was very helpful. So I think for a lot of people, that could be, you know, very helpful to have someone who's been there or at least is familiar who can help walk you through the process. You know, if you're not, you know, this person who's just ready to go it alone, because it takes a lot, and I don't suggest going it alone, but you do need to make your mind up. You do need to be sure that I'm going to take this path, and if I need to change, I'll change. But once you decide, decide and don't have to do it. You know, I have a lot of people that I coach, and they're not really ready for change. They're really wanting an alternative. They want a natural pill to take. They don't want to actually do a lifestyle change. They're like, okay, I don't want to do the pharmaceuticals because it doesn't really work, but can you give me something, you know, that's just as simple? And sometimes it's simple, sometimes it's not. You just got to be willing to do what it takes to make it happen, and then know in the long run, whatever changes you make are going to feel easy. They're going to feel normal again. It's going to be a shift from what we've always done to doing something different if you want to get somewhere you haven't been. So it's really the mindset that is the hardest part of this whole process. Mm-hmm. It is being willing to make changes, being willing to do whatever it takes, being willing to do the uncomfortable or the unconventional. And once you're willing to do that, then you're in a good place.
You know, you had people that you knew of that were, I mean, you weren't the only, once you decided to, you know, go vegan or vegetarian, you weren't the only vegetarian or vegan that you knew, right? I mean, so I think for a lot of people, therein lies part of the problem, is that when you present this information to some people, if you're not running in the vegetarian or vegan circles, you know, if you're talking to somebody that in their circle there are no vegetarians or vegans, then presenting them with this type of information, they kind of look at you like like you're from another planet or something, like, you don't eat meat, you know, because they don't know anybody else that doesn't eat meat, you know. So how important is that? Knowing other people that you can, you know, share your information with, and just that circle of support from other people that know exactly what it is that you're trying to do.
I think it's important. A lot of times you do have to change your environment, and because you get a lot of uninformed advice and opinions from people who are clueless. So not to sound, but I'm just saying, you're going to get that from people who have no information about nutrition at all. But when you say you're not going to eat meat, they suddenly become the PhD nutritionist and say, oh, you're going to die, you're not going to have protein, how is that going to work? So you have to know there's a lot of misinformation, disinformation, and which is different from misinformation. There's just some wrong information out there. Then there's disinformation, which is intentional information that's put out to discourage people from taking charge of their health through a natural plant-based diet. And then there's just people who are just not used to it, so, and they think it's weird. And I think that you just have to be aware of that and know that there are millions of people who've been eating plants only from birth and are living well and well into their, you know, hundreds. And so you have to first be solid in it and know that, you know, it might be, you know, strange to other people, but there's a whole community out there. And if you have a computer or a cell phone, you can pretty tap into it pretty easily and be surrounded online, if it's not in your actual personal community, with people who can give you some support and normalize, so to speak, this type of diet. So, I think, you know, having support is important, and being ready for the lack of information about it, you should be ready for that too.
You know, everybody, I knew that this is going to be a great interview. It always is. Every time I have an opportunity to talk to Dr. Latham, we have a very engaging discussion about holistic health, and I encourage everybody to share this information. This isn't just for you. You know, we're trying to heal this planet, all right? So make sure that you know, I'm sure you know somebody that could use this information. Everybody knows somebody that's ill. So please please share this information, share this link with them so that they can listen to Dr. Lathan for themselves. It's better for her to explain it in her own words than for you to try to share what she said. Just let them listen to the show and they can hear it for themselves. Well, today we're going to be talking about holistic health tips for the new year. Well, you heard her testimony. Okay, you know now why you're listening to her. She is a healer. She healed herself of thyroid cancer. Dr. Lathan, I think that to lay the foundation for the discussion today, holistic health tips for the new year. I think a lot of times people, when they think of holistic health, they think primarily of diet. You know, when you talk about somebody, you know, when you hear the term holistic health, I think the first image that comes to mind is vegetarian or vegan. But holistic health entails more than just eating. Could you, from your perspective, what would you say is holistic health? Okay, just from your perspective.
It's everything that's encompassed in living well, and that's when we fully take on the word holistic. That to me implies that it's going to be more than just one dimensional. It's going to be more than just food, because we're talking about the whole body. And so we do a lot more to our body, put more on our body than just food. So, you know, we put body products, we you know, drink beverages, we sleep, we breathe, we exercise, we do all these things. So in order for it to be truly holistic health, we have to look at all aspects of that, of everything that affects our body and mind. And so that's really what, for me, what holistic health would be about, is addressing everything that comes into contact with us.
You know, you just said something that I think a lot of people, even people on the holistic health path, don't even think about a lot, and that is what we put on our body in terms of just even, I would say, lotions and, you know, even soaps and, you know, deodorants and, you know, this type of thing. Again, back to people a lot of times just think of, you know, if I'm vegan, I'm good. You know, could you talk about that for just a second, just the importance of even being mindful of what goes on our skin, because, again, the skin is the biggest organ of elimination, and so when we're putting on stuff onto our body, it can even be absorbed into the skin through the pores. Can you talk about the importance of just even knowing what goes on your skin?
Absolutely. I think that's really, really important. And, you know, the food really is a great start and a good place to start. But as you mentioned, there's a lot more to it. And since the skin is definitely the largest organ, we have to be careful what we're putting on it. So, you know, one of the rules of the road that I was told, you know, when I was just getting into this was, you know, if you can't put it in your body, don't put it on your body, because it's going to go in your body. So I had to think about that, and I thought that was a bit radical at first. I was like, well, you know, I'm not going to eat most of the ingredients that are in lotion or toothpaste or any of those things. Because looking at the ingredients that were in the ones that I was using, you would be sick really fast. Now, it's not saying you should be able to literally, like, eat your lotion, but you should literally be able to eat the components of that if they were broken down separately and not die or go be sick. So, really, I mean, so that when you say something like that, that lets you know how basic your body products need to be. Mm-hmm. And if you're buying them from the traditional grocery store, then likely you're ingesting quite a bit of things that are not healthy, that are really toxic for the body. So, you know, we have to start there. So very natural. There's a lot of things we should avoid in our body products. So one of them is SLS. Actually, this was one of the tips for that what I was going to talk about was avoiding, which stands for SLS. It's the easiest to remember because you'll see it on the package like that. But it stands for, if I can remember it, sodium lauryl sulfate. That is one of the products that you're going to find, or chemicals that you're going to find in toothpaste, lotions, soaps, shampoos, all of those things. So you really want to avoid that. That's a main one, and that's because it is a hormone disruptor, and it really tears down the immune system at the same time. So that's something you really want to avoid. And if you start with just that one ingredient, you're going to not be able to buy your products at the regular, you know, corner store or the grocery store. You're going to have to be either making them yourselves or buying them at the health food store.
Wow. Everybody, my special guest is Dr. Ruby Lathan. We're talking about holistic health tips for the new year, okay? So everybody, get ready. I mean, that's just one, okay? Doc, I mean, I had some questions, but I don't want to take the show somewhere else. I know you got your tips over there. So I don't know what number on the list of tips that you had that was, but
that was down there, but we can go wherever we need to go. It's not a problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then let's talk about diet. There's somebody out there that made the resolution, you know, I am going to do better this year. I am going to stop eating meat. I'm going to, and somebody that stopped eating meat says, you know, I'm going to go from vegetarian to vegan. You know, somebody that's mm-hmm. vegan says, you know what, I'm going to let go of the gluten. I'm going to get off of that stuff, you know. When you're talking about change, you know, whether it's changing from a, you know, a meat eater to vegetarian or vegetarian to vegan or, you know, whatever the change is, sometimes it can be difficult. If it was easy, you know, some people would have already done it. So even when it comes to approaching change, any tips for change? I mean, you know, just because, again, people make the same resolutions oftentimes year after year after year, and before January is done, they've broke it, you know. So what kind of tips would you give, just even as it relates to change? Because, again, I've heard people say that, and it makes sense, that if you love yourself enough, I mean, change would be easy. Look in the mirror. If you see somebody you love, change for that person. And although that makes sense, you know, people would look at themselves and everybody would look in the mirror and say, I love myself, you know, even as they're biting into that chicken, you know, I love me, you know, I would not do anything to harm myself. But any tips for change? How do we change?
Yeah. You know, that's a difficult one, actually. I mean, if you can master change, then you can master most things. And a lot of us, you know, don't change until we absolutely have to. But there are some tips for change, you know, and I work on this myself. So, you know, a lot of folks who are giving advice aren't always perfect, but sometimes we have the formula. So one of those things is really that I've learned is you have to have a trigger for a new habit. You can't just say, all right, I'm going to start getting up at X time every day without actually having a trigger that's going to make you do that, or I'm going to stop eating this or start eating that. You have to do something different in your routine to actually make that happen. So if it's I'm going to start eating, you know, a different type of food, then you know, you might want to get rid of something that you're going to replace that new food with so you're not tempted to go back to it. You might want to start stocking up your refrigerator with the new stuff. You might want to get some new recipes. You need to set a start date. You need to, you know, get a support system, something that, you know, someone's going to call you tomorrow and say, okay, did you start the new whatever? Because we have to disrupt what we've always been doing. And so that's usually one of the pitfalls, is that we don't have an adequate disruption technique to kind of jolt us out of something we've been doing for years. So so that's really one of the things we want to do is try to, you know, find something that's going to disrupt the your old habit to mm-hmm. trigger the new habit. So whatever that is, and a lot of times we need extra help, a person, a new alarm or something, you know, we need to write something down, stick it on the wall, something that is that we're going to do, you know, set your clock for, I said I was going to start exercising today. You have to set something on your clock that says, okay, I'm going to remind you 1 hour before so that you actually do it. We cannot just rely on our sheer will to say we're going to do this because it just doesn't work like that, and it's very difficult to break a habit because there's a neural pathway that makes us do that. And so in order to create a new one, we need help to do it. So we can't just rely on all the time sheer willpower to do that. And then you have to do whatever the new thing is for at least 2-3 weeks to cement the new habit. And that's when a new neural pathway is really created and makes it easy now for you to do that. So, and then we have to know willpower is a finite resource. So a lot of us rely on willpower. You know, I'm going to go vegan and think you're just going to give it up. And even though you love certain meats and milk and cheese and things like that, you'll probably be good until 6 or 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and then by then your willpower has been totally depleted, and then you wonder why you might fail. And so it's like we can't rely on willpower because it's like a muscle; it's a finite resource, and we start using it from the moment we get up. You know, when we roll over and don't feel like getting out of bed right away, we have to use willpower to drag ourselves out of bed if we're dragging. Hopefully, you're not dragging, but you have to, you know, get out of bed. That's using some of the muscle right there, you know, eating healthy, deciding to have, you know, a healthy oatmeal instead of stopping at McDonald's, you're using more willpower. And it's usually easy in the morning because you have a big reserve. By the end of the day, it has been depleted. And that's why so many people I work for, including myself, by the end of the day, they find it a lot harder to do healthy, positive things at the end of the day than at the beginning because we've used up that reserve. And so we have to understand that about ourselves as opposed to beating ourselves up and saying it's just like any muscle. If you were doing push-ups all day, you'd be great in the morning. By evening, you'd be worn out. It's the same thing with willpower. So you have to build in ways to win for yourself to make this an easy transition. So it can be doing it in steps. It can be, you know, however you want to do it, but knowing that you can't just rely on willpower. You got to have a plan, and you have to have a trigger that makes you do the new thing every day until it's a habit.
Well, could you talk about then as a tip, I would assume this would be a tip, visualization, because I think that a lot of people can't see themselves doing whatever it is. I mean, for example, let's say, for example, you take somebody that's overweight or maybe even obese. They can't even see themselves jogging around the track. You know what I mean? They can't see themselves in their mind even doing 5 push-ups, much less, you know, getting up every morning and doing some push-ups, you know. And even, you know, speaking of willpower, there is a thought that is taught by Dr. Rawal Nefamin that even goes to say that the will actually has no power, that the will is actually that when we're making these declarations that I'm going to stop doing this or I'm going to start doing that we're making them in the wrong state, you know, that, you know, when we go into meditation, for example, that as our breathing slows down and the rate of our breathing changes, then the state of our awareness or consciousness will change, in that when we're making these declarations like I'm going to stop eating meat in the waking state, that's the worst state to try to make that declaration in. But if you take that into trance, for example, or meditation, and you can actually slow your breathing down to a point now where your mind or your spirit is most receptive to these suggestions. And I'm sure you could probably talk about hypnosis, you know, that their patient might be in a particular state, and in this state, there may be some suggestions made to this individual, and when they come out of this hypnotic state, or while they're in this hypnotic state, they do particular things that, you know, when they come out of it, it's like, oh, wow, you know. So could you talk about even visualization and just, and I guess it would be visualization maybe slash meditation, because I guess that would be the state in which you're visualizing. Could you talk about that as a tip, and or would you consider that to be a healthy tip in terms of holistic health tips for the new year, being able to visualize, I keep saying that word, visualize your,
all right,
doing certain things.
Sure.
And, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that's a powerful tool, and, you know, for people who aren't familiar with visualization and meditation, it's not hypnosis, so just so people, because they get afraid of that kind of thing, and that's something totally different, because what you're doing with visualization is just simply what the word says, is visualizing what you want. And if you think you haven't done it, you have. If you've ever worried about something, that's just negative visualization is what that is. So you've already done it. Hopefully you've done it positively. Most of us have, when we look forward to things like, you know, our birthday or a trip or something like that. We're seeing ourselves having a good time and doing whatever, and that's why we're excited about it, because we're thinking about, you know, where we're going to stay, what we're going to do, the beach or something like that. We're seeing ourselves there. We're seeing ourselves having a good time. We're seeing ourselves laughing it up with friends or whatever. That's visualization. So what we're doing here, especially for healing or something or habit change, is just going to be more mindful about it, and visualize, see yourself doing the new thing and feeling good about it. So if it's exercising, you could actually see yourself doing it at that whatever class you're going to do or whatever it is you're going to do, actually see your body doing it and think about how good you're going to feel when it's done. That helps cement it very well. And what visualization does is it creates new neural pathways. Just as I was saying, doing something over and over again creates a neural pathway that makes it easy to do it again. It's like a crease in the brain. You know, I've heard it described as like folding a piece of paper. Is the same as like a neural pathway. Now, if you unfold it, there's going to be a crease in that paper, and if you rolled something down it, it's going to go down that crease more than likely. That's the same thing that happens when we create a mental image in our brain, be it negative or positive. So when you think negatively about something, you're creating a neural pathway that makes it easy for you to fall into that, because that neural pathway is created, and then you follow along with it to make, because it's comfortable, it's easy, it's what you know. It's the same thing with a positive visualization. You're actually creating something that you haven't physically done yet, but you're mentally doing it, and it creates actually the exact same neural pathway as if you did it. So that's why, you know, reports have shown that people who literally practice, let's say, athletes who've practiced basketball making shots repeatedly versus athletes who visualize making shots repeatedly, the ones who actually visualized and didn't practice did better than the ones who actually practiced once they went out on the court. And that's because in your head, you're not going to make a mistake. You're not going to throw the ball and miss the basket in your head, right? If you're going to do 50 times in a row, I'm going to make the basket, you're going to see it go in every time, 1 through 50. If you're actually practicing it, you're probably going to miss a couple of those. And that's why the visualization was more effective for people, because it created a new muscle memory. It created a new pathway in the brain. So that's what visualization does. And when you couple it with meditation, some people do meditation first or put them together. Basically, meditation just quiets your brain so that you're more receptive to whatever it is you're going to think about. So you can either do it after or before, but if you've never done, visualization, it might be good just to start with that. Or if you've never done meditation, there's guided meditation that kind of walks you through it and helps you relax. And basically, you don't try to think about nothing. You just let thoughts come and let them go and just quiet your brain and maybe think about something as simple as a dot on the floor. And then that quiets your brain down, and then you can do the visualization and start thinking about what it is you want to happen. So, you know, whatever that new habit is, it actually works. And that's why it's so important to control the thoughts, because they create reality and they create neural pathways, and we wonder why we keep doing something. It's because we haven't disrupted that neural pathway, as I just mentioned, and you disrupt it by creating a new one that's stronger.
You know, I just wish that we had like 4 hours. We can just talk. This is good. You know, I mean, I'm really, really enjoying this. You know, we took the month of December off, and I miss Dr. Lathan. I mean, you know, this is food for me. I'm really, really feeling this, and I know that you all are too. And again, I encourage everybody to share this information. We're going to give Dr. Lathan's information on how you can contact her, because I know that you're really loving this information, and you may know somebody that needs to contact Dr. Lathan. You know, she is a holistic health coach. Okay, so if you need coaching on how to make this transition from, you know, to a better life, you know, from a life of, you know, maybe eating meat or eating dairy, and you need, or you have some health challenges, and Dr. Lathan is who you need to contact. Okay, so we're definitely going to give information on how you can get in contact with her. Dr. Lathan, I had my own little list here, but what other tips do you have? Because I don't want to take the conversation somewhere else, because I know.
All right. Well, I had a couple. I can go through them relatively quickly. Well, first, I started with kind of, you need to get a roadmap for health, and that's kind of what you were alluding to about, you know, making changes and how to make new habits. And my thought was, you know, get a roadmap to health, basically outline what it is you're going to do, and if that requires getting support from a professional, then do that. And I was also, for those in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, going to suggest that you could get such a roadmap at my Holistic Health Summit that is coming up on February 4th that is designed to give you just that, a roadmap to health. And we're covering things from not just food and nutrition, but meditation and financial wellness and health and our mindset around that as well. So it's a truly a holistic conference, because we're touching on a lot of different things, from detoxing to digestive health to obviously food preparation, plant-based food preparation, raw food preparation, you know, and all of those things, as well as a health fair that people can visit exhibitors around the room. Also, so it's a full-day summit, 9 a.m. to 5 on Saturday, February 4th, and folks can go to myhealthsummit.com, www.myhealthsummit.com. and register. And so we are hoping that people will come out and get that roadmap. So that's number one, because, again, you then surround yourself with people who are like-minded and who are on the same path, which really helps you stay on your path. I can go through the other ones relatively quickly. One of them was, and folks probably need to research some of these because I know we don't have much time on their own, but next one was oil pulling. And that one was to try oil pulling. And if you never have, that may be a show we could talk about if we haven't already. And that's basically just putting a tablespoon of coconut oil in your mouth and swishing it around for 15 to 20 minutes, usually on an empty stomach, maybe first thing in the morning, and it pulls out bacteria and germs from your mouth that ends up boosting your immune system, because we have a lot of bacteria in our mouth, a lot more than we think we do. Obviously, it helps with bad breath as well, but it does a lot more than that. So oil pulling was tip number two. Three was drinking 2 glasses of water in the morning when you first get up, because it provides energy, it rehydrates us and gives us a boost, as we haven't been drinking for several hours during the night and often sweat. You need that rehydration. Fourth one was to add lemon juice or apple cider vinegar to that morning water, because that gives you an extra boost of antioxidants and enzymes and probiotics from the apple cider vinegar, which help good bacteria develop, and it also has antiviral properties. So you're not only getting that boost of water, you're getting all these other benefits as well, very naturally. Five was deep breathing. Practice deep breathing daily or multiple times a day, because we often take very shallow breaths and we never really clear our lungs and fill them up and release that. And it's, you know, like anything else, it needs to be exercised. And obviously, if you do deep aerobic exercise, you're going to be deep breathing. Some of us aren't doing that. So in addition to that, we want to just practice deep breathing through the day. It really improves your mood. It helps to detoxify the body. It helps your lymphatic system. So it's something that's really easy that you can do. And folks can find these tips also on my website, on my blog, which is at rubylathan.com. In case you're trying to hurriedly writing these down, you can go there and print it out. And then the next one was six was avoid as plastics as much as possible, because especially plastics with BPA, which is that a plastic that is known to cause cancer and disrupt our hormonal system as well. So, you know, plastics have phthalates that are not good for us. So even the BPA-free plastics, we really want to start using less and less and switch to glass, because even the ones that don't have BPA, they have other properties that disrupt our hormones. So we really want to stop storing things in plastic, especially warm things should never be in plastic. And you shouldn't be microwaving anyway, but if you are, you should never microwave in plastic. So that's really important to reduce our cancer risk and to stop all of this hormone disruption. It also causes asthma, among other things. So get the plastic out of our diet in terms of food storage. You want to avoid aluminum contact with food. So a lot of us wrap food in aluminum foil. Not a good idea. It's not a good idea to top your casserole with aluminum and stick it in the oven, because that is getting aluminum right into the food and baking it in there for as long as you're baking it. Aluminum is a very soft metal, and it transfers very easily. So we should not be using aluminum pans to cook in, those aluminum pie pans and all those other things. Aluminum affects the brain negatively and is linked to Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. So,
whoa, did you hear that, everybody?
Yeah,
no wrapping your aluminum, don't wrap your food in aluminum and cook it. Don't do it.
Don't.
Oh, my God.
If you must use aluminum, you could at least wrap it in parchment paper first if you have to store the food in there or something like that. I still wouldn't cook with it, but you could, you know, wrap something, a barrier around it before you store it, as at least an attempt to minimize the contact with aluminum. So that means sodas and things like that shouldn't be used. Now, aluminum foil is a no-go with direct contact with food. As you know, once you bake with it, how it changes colors really easily, that has gone right into the food. So we want to stop with the aluminum and use stainless steel or glass cookware or titanium, things like that. We covered the SLS in body products. Just look for that SLS, sodium lauryl sulfate. If it has it in there, put it back. Nine was to try juice fasting. A lot of us have never done that, and a lot of us have never stopped eating for more than 8 hours at a time. And you'd be surprised at the benefits of not eating for a day, how healing it can be. So if you've never done a juice fast, you might try a day up to 3 days. You can do a day for your first time just to get used to how it feels, and then the next time try 2 days and then 3 days. It really is very healing for the body, and it's a great detoxification. 10 was not to sit too long, and I've been working on getting up every hour because I tend to get very in deep concentration and can sit like for 3 or 4 hours at a time to get something done, but that's very unhealthy. You know, they say constant long periods of sitting actually can cause organ damage, where our bodies are not meant to be stationary that long in a stretch. You want to get up, mm-hmm. shake your limbs out, walk around, then come back. If you can get a standing desk, even better. But this long, prolonged periods of sitting is hazardous, and it can actually take years off of your life. So if you're on the phone, use that time to get up and walk around while you're talking and things like that. So that's important. 11 is get adequate sleep. That's when our bodies repair. And so if you're not getting adequate sleep, you are not going to be fully repaired and rejuvenated. And then 12 was go veg, go vegan, go vegetarian. Take whatever the next step is for you that you can handle and do that. The less meat we're putting in our body, the better. Less dairy needs to go, absolutely. You know, we know the benefits of a plant-based diet in just preventing diabetes and hypertension, heart disease and cancer, improving libido, protecting your skin, the list is, like, extensive. So you want to consider that as a new lifestyle or to try it for 3 weeks and see how much better you feel, and you'll be completely surprised. A lot of people are doing at churches, at their churches, doing what's called the Daniel fast, and basically that's a vegan diet, a whole food vegan diet. So if you're doing it at your church, you should give it a try, as I'm going to be coaching some churches through that process so they can have a really good experience with that. And then the bonus was to get some healthy recipes at the Veggie Chest on my show, which you can find at on YouTube. Just type in The Veggie Chest or youtube.com/TheVeggieChest. You can also just find the link on my website, which is RubyLathan.com, and that'll give you a kickstart on healthy, really good-tasting, easy recipes to get you on track. So whether it's just a day like Meatless Monday or you actually committing to a lifestyle change, you'll find recipes there to help you with that. So those are the tips.
Wow. I mean, everybody, I want you to make sure that everybody goes back and listens to this show again and again, shares this information, and, of course, contacts Dr. Lathan. Any tips on EMF, Dr. Lathan? I mean, because people walking around with cell phones stuck to the side of their head. I mean, the television, the microwaves. And what about electromagnetic frequencies and how to maybe reduce, if not eliminate, I mean, I know you can only do so much, but just the what we come in contact with every day without even thinking about it.
Yeah, that's a good one, and it didn't quite make my list, but I should have worked it in there somewhere. But, yeah, we do want to reduce the amount of electromagnetic radiation and frequencies that we're getting. So, you know, you don't want to put your phone to your ear at all. You really want to use a speakerphone or ear or headphones because you're putting direct contact with those rays to your head, which has been shown to cause cancer. And they also say men really shouldn't be carrying it on their waist either because they've shown cancer developing right where people tend to carry their cell phone, on their waist, or tumors or things like that. So you really want to use speakerphone or use a headphone and not have the phone to your head. But you can also get EMF protectors to put on your phone and your cell phone and your computer to help reduce some of that, those waves that do cause damage. You can also get salt lamps to put on your work desk or desk at home that helps eliminate some of those rays as well. So it's very important that usually it's a little disc that you stick either on the battery of the phone or on the phone to help eliminate that. So in addition to just not putting it to your head is really important.
Also, ladies, do not put your cell phone in your bra, okay? There are a lot of women that say...
Yes, please no. Yeah, if it's doing things on the waist, on the outside of the pants, imagine what it's doing with direct contact with your breast, which is a very sensitive area, and things even seep in even better when you have, you know, more gentle skin. So very bad idea to put that in your bra.
Doc, you talked about aluminum. I mean, we got just a couple of minutes left. I mean, and what about, because there are people who have said, okay, well, I'm not going to use the microwave. I'm just going to use the Toastar oven. And oftentimes people put the tray with aluminum and then put the food on top of that, even if it's not wrapped in it. What if it's sitting on top of, same thing, huh?
It's the same thing. You'd be better off with parchment paper or a glass container. Flat glass plate, something that is heat resistant that you could bake in, that's low, that can fit into your toaster oven. That's what I do. I have a glass container that I use most of my things in the toaster oven in, or I use parchment paper to line that pan. But more than likely, I'm using a glass dish to heat the food in. But yeah, absolutely not putting it on the putting aluminum foil to cover the pan is cooking it in aluminum, so that's seeping right in.
Woo! Everybody, if you didn't get anything out of this show, and I'm sure you got a lot, because there's so many people that never heard this information before, okay? Now, we encourage you to research it, okay? Because there are people out there that's always skeptics, you know, oh, I don't believe that, you know what I mean? Well, just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's not true, okay? You know, so
right.
Definitely
you know,
do
we
your research.
Done, I could have done 24 holistic health tips from the microwave to... you know, all the things that you're mentioning, but I just chose some of the top ones, but there are more. So, yeah, if you start here, you'll be on your way.
Well, everybody, I want to encourage you to make sure, again, Dr. Lathan mentioned her Holistic Health Summit is called the Reengineer Your Life Holistic Health Summit. I love that title, Doctor. Reengineer Your Life. I mean, there are a lot of people that, you know, just think about that. You actually can re-engineer your life. And that re means you can do it again. You can start over. If you don't like where your life is right now, if you don't like where the decisions that you have made have brought you to, I mean, it could be food choices amongst other things, and you find yourself in a position where your life needs to be re-engineered. You need to start over. This is where you start, at the Re-Engineer Your Life Holistic Health Summit. And, Doc, could you give that information again, where it's going to be and when, and the pertinent information for that?
Sure. It's going to be in Washington, D.C. at Trinity Washington University at the Trinity Center. You'll get that information on at the website, which is myhealthsummit.com, so www.myhealthsummit.com, and you'll see that information there. It's a one-day event. It's a comprehensive immersion event, so you'll leave changed from when you came and with some really good experiences. And folks can go to the website and hear what other people had to say about the last event and how life-changing it was for them. So you can get those firsthand accounts of people who were just joyful that they had come. And I've heard from other folks who said, you know, I went vegan from that day forward and it's been over a year, and how much it changed their life. And so that made me really feel good. And what else makes me feel good is I've already heard from a lot of people who have gone before who are definitely coming again because they had such a good experience. So if you haven't been, this is your opportunity to come out on February 4th. You do have to register in advance for it. There's a small fee to cover the cost, but you're served breakfast and lunch. There's a free yoga class. Lots of materials and information that you're going to get, and it's going to be an awesome day. So I suggest you bring your friends, family, and come on out and join us.
You know, Doc, you said you used the term, two words, life-changing. And I think it's important that people understand that you can change your life. You know, those are two powerful words when put together, life-changing. And when you have an event that is life-changing, where people who've actually come out and as a result of coming out gotten information that resonated with them so that it actually changed their life. I mean, there are a lot of people out here that need their life changed. There are a lot of people out here that aren't happy with where they are physically, emotionally, I mean, financially. I mean, just in a lot of it starts with your health. I mean, your health is truly your wealth. There are a lot of people out here that are dealing with all kinds of ailments, from diabetes to arthritis to heart trouble to, I mean, you name it. They're dealing with issues, cancers, all different kinds of cancers. Well, you heard Dr. Lathan had a life-changing encounter, okay? She actually took matters into her own hands and changed her life. She cured herself of thyroid cancer. Now, she knows how to change a life. She changed her own, and she can help you to change yours, okay, but you have to make the first step. Give her a call, contact her, go to her website, rubylathan.com, www.rubylathan.com, and Lathan is L-A-T-H-O-N, okay. Make sure that you check out the Veggie Chest, because it's time to change your life. You know it, or else you wouldn't be listening to this show. Dr. Lathan, I want to thank you so much, my sister. Again, as always, awesome, powerful information. And thank you so much again for being my guest today. awesome show. That's all I can say. I'm numb.
Well, thank you, and thanks for having me. I always have a good time with you.
Everybody, make sure that you contact Dr. Lathan, www.rubylathan.com, and check out the Veggie Chest on YouTube. It's time to change your life. Are you ready? You are, or else you wouldn't be here. Thank you so much, everybody. My name is Jawanza. Until the next time, peace and blessings. Happy New Year.